Beams of Darkness by Sam Gabriel. From Thanks for Playing. Read by the author. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey and Clutch. Chapter 5. On Your Mother's Doorsteps. Be present, Roxy.
Your name is Roxy Harley, and here's the thing. You know exactly what this feels like to your kids. Well, okay, maybe not precisely exactly, but you did spend 16 years living on, yes, this exact planet, with even fewer humans around, even less to do, and about the same level of danger. And then, as well, all you had was the specter of Rose Lalonde to look up to and wonder about and get drunk because of. You have spent a substantial portion of your life drunk because of Rose Lalonde, haven't you? Okay, that isn't entirely fair. Actually, it isn't mostly fair. But that's beside the point. Because the point is that when you imagine your kids looking up to someone, that someone isn't you. It's Rose, and Latch, and of course Jade. But when it comes to you, you tend to assume the same thing about your kids that you assume about everybody. Which is that they just about barely tolerate you. And really, that's horseshit. You know it's horseshit, because your kids fucking adore you, probably. You know you fucking adore them, definitely. And Rose is included in that, as are Dave, Latch, and even Carcat. It doesn't matter that they're exactly the same age as you. Words like mom and dad and Lucius Lacerator get tossed around among the adults with many different flavors of irony, but always at least some truth to the joke. Mother from Rose is never a joke, was never a joke, in any respect whatsoever. Even when she says it in anger, or irritation, or even spite, she says it from the bottom of her heart. So when you say that you know exactly how this feels to your kids, this whole situation, yet Rose is included in that because you are pissed off at Becky and Zaz right now. So pissed off that when Rose assigned full-on, no-joke, military police to enforce the immediate and total grounding of all four kids, duration to be determined at a later date. After all, what you did wasn't just in contradiction of your parents' explicit instructions, it was in violation of about 17 laws. And Becky and Zaz turned to you expecting clemency, you shook the fuck out of your head. They are not going to be leaving their rooms for a while. Which is good, or at least convenient, because the eight of you, the adults that is, have a lot of fucking talking to do. About things that have nothing to do with your kids, thank fucking God. Or at least you will, when it stops being the Rose, Dirk, Latch, and Jake club in the conference room for some reason. Be past Terezi.
This is harder than it looks, okay? The session, that sprawling 4-in-1 session that was actually 5-in-1, yeah, that was simple. That was just wrangling the idiocy of, at most, at absolute most, 40 people or so, and that was when you counted all of Red Glare's group, and you barely even messed with them at all. Anything to avoid meeting Arania again. No, usually it was about a dozen people you had to keep track of at any given time, with attempts averaging, oh, say, 3 sweeps in length apiece, sometimes far shorter, sometimes far longer. At the rate that time is moving right now, you have a little less than 2,500 sweeps in which to build a civilization. You realize very quickly, and by very quickly you mean on your 4th or 5th attempt, that it is much harder to build a civilization of millions than it is to steer a dozen people around a few sessions of scrub. Especially given that you need it to be exactly, precisely the right kind of civilization, with exactly, precisely the right things in it. Really, given that it took you almost 50,000 attempts to get the session right, it's nothing short of miraculous that you managed to get Earth-Sea right after just over 700 attempts. But then you are a god. Working miracles is kind of what you do. Miracles in the future, but not many. You thought it would be anticlimactic. You figured it would have to be, after almost 2 million sweeps of build-up, and that would have been fine. This was never the goal. This was just the beginning of the final act. Anticlimax would have been normal, would have been expected. But when you finally let those 2,300 sweeps elapse fully, smell Dave Strider's hand move back and away, feel the almost imperceptible sensation of movement on a cosmic scale as you and your friends and your kingdom and the stage you have spent thousands of lifetimes setting just so, making perfect for Vriska Circuit's greatest curtain call.
Go through the door. You feel a sensation like nothing you have ever experienced before flood through you. Victory, victory, after so long. Your first real milestone. You earned this. You earned this. And more than anything else, it's a new fucking sensation. You had almost forgotten what it was like to feel something new. The universe, the new universe, shrinks around you. The vague impression you have of Jade Harley's mind spasms, screams, and turns off. Sucker. That'll give you a good perigee or so to get used to the new routine without having to juggle too many balls at once. If you've set things up right, you'll be dealing with strike teams of just two boys and a cat for a while. Be present, Latula. So walk me through this one more time, Jake, because I don't understand what in the evergreen fuck you are talking about. You think that we have launched Operation Latchkey before?
No, I mean, yes, but not in an actual literal sense.
To what sense, precisely, are you referring, Jake?
The sense that it actually is an event which literally occurred.
Which it isn't.
Well, that sounds like actionable intelligence to me. Dirk, you unilaterally aborted the mission over this?
He was somewhat more convincing at the time.
Oh, that's a relief.
But I don't think he's wrong.
About what? He isn't saying anything.
On the contrary, he's saying plenty. It just doesn't make any sense.
Dirk!
And the fact that it doesn't make any sense doesn't make him wrong.
About what, Dirk?
About Operation Latchkey being a mistake.
Dirk, not even Latula thought Operation Latchkey was a mistake. I explained it to her and she thinks everything's a mistake.
Hey!
Every mission feels like a mistake to you, is what I mean. The moral ambiguity of war. It's why we don't rely on your powers to make command decisions, because every decision we make is a mistake in some way.
Oh, right on.
Except this one. This one felt fine to you after I explained it.
Well, actually.
Yes?
That wasn't conspicuous to you?
Well, no, not especially, Dirk. Not for a mission that would, if successful, end the war. That still seems fairly cut and dry to me, or at least I would find it plausible that Latula's powers would so interpret.
But it wasn't.
Excuse me.
It wasn't cut and dry.
When you explained the situation to Latch, she agreed that your analysis wasn't a mistake.
Yes, but when the question of whether or not the mission was a mistake was raised, she raised it.
Not you, Rose. And Latch, your powers don't work on yourself.
Dead silence. How the fuck do you know that?
Latchula saw how our powers work over 20 years ago, Rose.
Not that, moron. How do you know how our conversation went?
Because I heard it. I was listening outside your door.
Dead silence. How much did you hear, Jake?
Rose, I heard everything.
You what?
Rose begins to make a mistake. You flash step around the table, putting yourself between her and Jake.
Shush.
Fuck you.
Shush.
Fuck you, Latchula.
You pat her on the lips. Pap, pap, pap.
Don't pat me in public.
Oh, babe, put the fucking wands away.
She looks down at her hands to see the quills of Echidna, sparking with energy.
Oh, I didn't... realize.
Yeah, that's why you're going to sit the fuck back down and let me handle this, babe?
Perhaps that's for the best, yes.
She turns, and you turn on your heel and bend down to look at Jake English. The muscles in your right frond clench as you lower your shades, Ganderbalms an inch from his big smile on your face.
So what the fuck did you hear, dude?
A great many things that I wasn't supposed to hear?
Yeah, what kind of things?
Therese is a dragon, we have to slay her, Rose is the hero, and you are her sword. We can't die was the main thing, Latch.
You said you heard everything.
Everything important, I expect. What, was there more? If I'd arrived a bit earlier, would I have found out that, what, you're actually working for Therese, Latch, that Rose is a robot, that all of this is a dream and none of it's real? Because I might bloody well prefer that last one at this point.
When did you arrive? That might cut the chase here. What was the first thing you heard?
We can't die.
You relax. So does Rose. Wait.
Good. It looks like we can move on from that. Tremendous.
I was about to knock and I heard that and I stopped and I listened and I think any of you would have done the same had you been me.
Likely the case, yes.
You're fine.
And what the hell was all that about? Oh, the two of you had just been engaged in...
No. We are moving on from that.
So,
Jake knows This at least explains why you brought only the four of us in here to start with. What do you think, Dirk? Is it time to tell everyone? I mean, if Jake knows, then everyone might as well know. Wait, hold on. What he said before about if this was a dream? Oh my god, this isn't a dream, Latula. No, I know. It's just that reminded me of something. Jake, you think Operation Latchkey happened before? Like, over and over? Not insofar as it actually happened, but yes. Right, so what, do you think he dreamed that? No, I think you did. What? Babe, I never met Jane. But I feel like I kind of know her, sort of. Because, like, okay, I can't read thoughts like Terezi can, but I can read minds. You know, feelings. Like, all kinds of feelings and, like, urges? What, like sexual urges? No, like, well, yeah, but not just that. Like, what people want. Because that's what a lot of mistakes happen about, you know? And the better I know you, the better I can read you. So, babe, you have nightmares every single night. I told you I stopped. Yeah, and you were lying, but that's fine, because I did too when I acted like I believed you. Wow, I didn't know you were capable of lying on purpose. Babe, my last name has been Lalonde for like 20 fucking sweeps. Oh, there's that eye twitch that you fell in hate with. Poor fucking Rose. I don't know whether to be sorry, or impressed, or depressed, or turned on, she was going to say. Yeah, welcome to human marriage, babe. This shit was your idea. So, you take a deep breath. It's only occurring to you now, but you really, really should have brought this up before. But you didn't know it would be this important. You didn't know you need another breath. You take a deep breath. Your nightmares are about Jane, babe. What? Babe. No, they're not. Yeah, they are, babe. But they're about Kanaya. No, they're not. You just don't remember them. No, I don't. But of course they're about Kanaya. No, they're not, babe. But why didn't you say something? Because you don't remember them. And you're happy. I know how people work, babe. I never felt like this was something that was like eating at you, fucking you up. That was Kanaya. And you got through the worst of that sweeps and sweeps ago. But babe, I don't know how Jane died or what she was to you, but you never talk about her and you never think about her. I have mentioned Jane to you before, babe, and it's just nothing, like no reaction from you. So I just thought whatever it was, whatever happened, it was just a scar that didn't hurt most of the time, but was never going to fully heal. Like, you know, my shit. And you had enough shit to worry about, and you were happy, babe, so I never made a big deal out of it. She is staring at you like she has never met you before. Latula, I don't have any trauma about Jane at all. I liked her just fine, but I only knew her for about a year, and we were never close. I'd hesitate to call us friends, even. I knew Salix better than I knew her. Hell, I knew Equius better than I knew her. I didn't find her body or anything like that. Terezi killed her when we were still separated in the Vale. I only found Kanaya because I knew it was happening while it was happening, and she was my girlfriend and I had magic, but nothing like that was the case with Jane. Latula, you say I have had these dreams every single night? Fucking clockwork, babe. And all I could tell, all I could, like, read, is what you wanted. And you just wanted to help her. Every day. For the last 20 sweeps. An eternity of silence. Dirk breaks it by walking over to the door and opening it. A word, a gesture, and Roxy, Jade, Dave, and Carcat file in. In answer to your question, Rose, I agree. Everyone gets told everything. Right now. Be passed to Terezi. This is fascinating. This is just fascinating. Red Glare's shields are perfect now, and the bunker? Invisible. You actually don't know where it is. You could probably find out without too much effort, but it is just so much more fun this way, and truer to the story that the heroes think they're in, and really the story they think they're in is the story they are in, as far as Skaia is concerned. Rose is the main character, after all, so her perception of reality has real weight to it. You aren't certain what that perspective is, of course, not firsthand, because she never leaves the bunker, because she's smart, and she never lets Red Glare leave the bunker, because she's smart. Smart and some twisted-up perverted human take on Caligonus as well, of course. Anything with a pulse, like you said. Anything that makes her feel like shit. But man, did you ever win the lottery with Red Glare? That girl is everything that Rose doesn't even know she needs. And Red Glare, for her part, can't keep those sly red-tinted gander bulbs off the toxic little slut. It's fucking adorable. And how do you know any of this? Well, you don't know any of it, not firsthand. But Dave does. Dirk does, too, even if he is trying to ignore it. Nepeta, of course, lives and breathes this stuff. A glance inside that head tells you all you need to know about the quadrant lives of just about every person in that bunker. Every single mission gives you another glance, and more. Dave is so worried about Jade, but you're keeping him so busy he just doesn't have the time or energy to spend with her. And anyway, what would he say? What could he do? And she has Jake. Dirk is worried sick about Roxy, and Rose too, of course, but man, why did Roxy have to start drinking again? He's so disappointed in her, but truth be told, he wishes he had a vice like that to take his mind off of things. It's hard to judge her too harshly for it. In any event, he is certain that he can beat you at narrative exploitation, certain that he can find the threads to pull on, show them to Rose, weave them into a new story. You'll disabuse him of that notion the first chance you get. It'll cost you a moon, but hey, what else are moons for? Arkles has the best ideas. Because that's not all. Nepeta is what else moons are for. Good old AC, good old open, honest, insightful AC, good old brave AC. You really have made a hero out of her, haven't you? She burns on the inside, burns in a different way than the light in your eyes burns you, a more, well, heroic way. She doesn't even hate you, not really. She only wants you dead so you won't make anyone else feel like she feels. Not that anyone can tell what she feels except for you, because she acts just as happy as ever. And the amazing thing is that it isn't really an act. She's amazing. Jade would be so lucky if, well, poor Jade. Poor Jake, poor Roxy, poor Rose, poor Red Glare, poor Dave, poor Carcat, poor Dirk, poor AC. After the lesson you gave Skaya about being a team player, all you have to do is decide to unshrink Durst, and would you look at that? Rose starts seeing things. Poor, poor, poor AC.
Be present, Zazerpan. Actuarial Tetragrammaton, AT, opened private quadruple encrypted bulletin board bucket of shame. AT opened memo on board bucket of shame. Glittering Acrimony, GA, responded to memo.
GA.
Please change the name of this board.
AT.
No.
AT.
It was hard enough getting through Grandmom's lockouts once. I'm not doing it again.
AT.
Anyway, how the fuck did you get a message in before me?
GA.
I was hitting refresh on Pasta Chum.
AT.
That isn't how that works.
GA.
I have prepared a statement.
AT.
Oh, good.
GA.
It was going to be the first message and thereby achieve maximum rhetorical impact.
GA.
But then you named the board something only a wiggler would find amusing, and now the moment is ruined.
GA.
Thanks ever so much for that, Mituna.
AT.
Does this mean we don't have to read your fucking manifesto?
GA.
No.
GA.
It is still in my clipboard.
AT.
Oh, good.
GA.
Zazerpan Harley, you have fucked us for the last time. This was absolutely 100% all your fault. Great plan. Absolutely stellar plan. The best plan of all time. Now the four of us are fucking criminals, apparently, and if we ever get out of our fucking respite blocks again, which seems fucking unlikely, I'm going to smash your fucking head in with one of Troll Mother's fucking skateboards. See if I fucking don't. I am fucking furious right now. Absolutely fucking livid. Happy fucking birthday, Zazerpan fucking Harley, and many happy fucking returns as well. Sincerely yours, with love, Canaille Lalonde, postscriptum eat shit.
Toxicovalence, TC, responded to memo.
TC.
Okay, first off, rude.
TC.
Second off, it wasn't my idea to try to sneak back out all of a sudden when the mission got called off.
TC.
That's the only reason we got caught.
TC.
Whose idea was that again?
TC.
Oh, right, it was my stupid.
TC.
Baby.
TC.
Brother.
Cannily Gregarious, CG, responded to memo.
CG.
Sorry, that was my bad.
CG.
Lol.
CG.
Kinda freaked out.
AT.
Why didn't we go back through the vent, is what I want to know.
TC.
Because Ultimate Dumbass here screwed it back onto the wall.
AT.
Why?
CG.
I got bored! Had to fiddle with something!
AT.
Oh my fucking god, Becky.
GA.
No.
GA.
I'm not going to let you do this, Zazerpan.
GA.
We can toss blame around all day for what went wrong after we got there.
GA.
What matters is that we shouldn't have been there in the first fucking place.
GA.
And the only reason we were there in the first fucking place is because you convinced all of us it would be fine.
GA.
Well, it wasn't fine. It was horrible.
G.A.
Did you see the look on Human Mother's face?
G.A.
She wasn't just angry or disappointed, she was scared.
G.A.
Really scared.
G.A.
Like as scared as she gets when Troll Mother has a panic attack.
A.T.
Oh, holy shit, shut up, we aren't supposed to talk about that.
G.A.
God.
G.A.
Damn it.
G.A.
I'm just a fucking...
G.A. A.T.
Bucky Zaz, forget she said that.
A.T.
Please.
T.C.
K.
C.G.
I don't even know what that is.
A.T.
It stopped happening anyway, she hasn't had one in sweeps.
G.A.
I just...
G.A.
I did that to her.
G.A.
Human Mother.
G.A.
I made her that scared.
G.A.
Because of you, Zazapan.
T.C.
It isn't my fault you said yes, can I?
T.C.
It isn't my fault any of you said yes.
T.C.
I just wanted to find out what was going on.
A.T.
You just wanted to stir up shit.
A.T.
Is what you wanted to fucking do.
T.C.
Well, fuck you, tuna fish.
T.C.
Fuck all of you.
T.C.
I guess I'm just a total fucking asshole then.
Hateful, spiteful tears sting your eyes as you push yourself away from the computer desk. Fuck them. They wanted to sit around like losers and do nothing while you wanted to do something about it. Tuna doesn't know what he's talking about. You get up, kick your chair over, and it doesn't make a nearly satisfying enough sound, so you kick it again, and it doesn't even move against the stupid carpet, and you hurt your foot. Tuna doesn't know what he's fucking talking about, loser. Fuck him for being not right at all. He wasn't right at all. And fuck Kanaya for making you feel bad, and fuck Becky for whatever, something. For getting you caught. Yeah, that. You sit on your bed. Fuck. You curl up on your bed. Fuck. A long, ugly, crying jag in the future. But not that long, and you probably looked really cool and dignified and hot, and you weren't even crying at all. Shut up, asshole. You don't even know. I hate you.
Meow.
Oh. Hey there, girl. Did they lock you in here with me?
Meow.
Okay, we can be jail buddies. Wanna come get snuggles?
Meow.
No, I don't blame you. I suck. All my friends hate me, too.
Meow.
What you got there, girl?
Ooh. Ooh. Well, where'd you find that?
Meow.
Not telling me, huh?
Meow.
Okay, keep your secrets. Mom always said you know goddamn everything. Well, can't get any more in trouble. Fuck it.
Meow.
B passed to Rezzy. The solution for Jane, as with so many other things, ended up being her idea. And when you greet your new secretary with a shake of her head, you know it was a good idea. There she is, Jane Crocker, finally free of the tiara that was killing her, finally free of the guilt that was weighing her down, and finally, 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 you have a real fucking friend. And just in time, because Crocker Corp is just about to roll out its latest product. And that's something that needs friends, too. New friends, because this is a game made for four players, ages five sweeps and up. You grab the lever, and concentrate, and concentrate, and concentrate, and concentrate.
Players,
you pull. Neurons fire in John's brain. The intense scent of a blinding flash of light overwhelms your senses. When you can smell again, you have exactly what you asked for. Sitting at four desks in four brand new red chairs with four tubes dripping soporifics into four five-sweep-old forearms.
You really do have the best ideas, Arkles. This is going to be amazing.
Anything to further the narrative, my good bitch.
You wonder who they are, where they came from. And then you stop wondering because you don't care. You do care about John, who reappears after another blinding flash of light and starts dying. Jane heals him. What a good friend. You decide to murder her tomorrow. Rose starts seeing things. The next day, when you pull the lever, you ask John for two things. The first thing is a new batch of players, and the second thing is to give you a signal 24 hours in the past. The signal tells you that tomorrow won't be a good day to murder Jane Crocker. You should sleep on it. And see how you feel in the morning. She is your friend, after all. And Rose starts seeing things one day later instead. Iterations in the future. Precisely 15,738.
Okay, Arkles, what do I do? What's the move here, buddy? I mean, I retconned this, right?
These circumstances are unprecedented, my good bitch.
Yeah, no shit, man. Unprecedented is usually, you know, where I fucking live, but...
You gesture in the vague direction of the spire.
I have zero intel about this. Pyrospite means red glare, and red glare means I didn't even know they left at all. They showed up on your instruments, but not in my mind. I've got nothing. Did you stand down the drones?
Of course, my good bitch. That is protocol.
Yeah, protocol that we've never had to fucking follow before. What do I do, Arkles? What do I do?
My most excellently good bitch, it occurs to me that, well, I will put the question to you. Is the triumphant return of Riska Circuit not also unprecedented?
The calm before the storm.
My thinking exactly, my good bitch.
So I have to let this play out.
Affirmative.
Because build-up is tension.
Affirmative.
And tension is drama.
Affirmative.
And drama is power.
Affirmative.
So I don't retcon this.
Affirmative.
I don't know, Arkles, it feels really weird not to do it.
This morning's vision must stay intact.
Yeah, well, whatever the fuck is going on, that is definitely part of the causality at work. But then, shit, that means I have to actually kill Jane today, right? I don't want to do that.
Sometimes being a CEO means...
Fuck you, I know that. But there are reasons I've never allowed her to die. Not least of which being that I have no idea how to guarantee a null death, even by suicide.
If Rose Lalonde received the vision this morning, then by temporal necessity the danger must be made real.
Fuck that. The danger is real. And the visions don't say when Jane has to die. The only reason they happen in the first place is because I decide to change the status quo, and Skaia has no other way to stop me. And the only reason the retcon erases them from the timeline is because I decide to change my mind about doing that. Skaia doesn't even see the retcons. It just knows what has to happen based on what I fucking decide. So this time, I'm not changing my mind. I'm not blinking, and I'm not retconning this. If Skaia gives me Vriska, it can have Jane. And if not, then everyone dies. That's what I fucking decided.
As you will it, my good bitch.
Just watch me, Arkles. Willing shit is what I fucking do.
Might I make one suggestion?
I have a feeling you're going to, regardless of what I say.
It might encourage Skaia to be cooperative if its pound of flesh was ready for delivery.
Arkles?
Yes, my good bitch.
I like the way you think.
Thank you, my good bitch.
Gallows Calibrator, GC, began trolling Gutsy Gumshoe. GG. GC.
Jane, do you think you could work a little overtime this evening?
GG.
Of course, Miss Pyrope.
GC.
Thank you so much, Jane.
GC.
You're a real team player.
Be present, Roxy.
Huh. Huh. Huh.
Indeed. Rose? Yes, Jade?
Rose, what the fuck? Do you have any idea how scared I've been and worried? About Roxy and Jake and Dirk and Dave and everybody every single time any of us goes outside? So much fucking danger I've had to cope with because you didn't think it was fucking worth telling me that none of it was real?
Of course the danger was real, Jade. You of all people should know that.
Babe, be fucking careful, holy shit.
What are you talking about? What is she talking about? Would you actually have been less scared or worried if you had known, Jade, that death and only death was off the table? Not maiming, mutilation, crippling.
Rose! What the fuck?
Oh. Well, fuck.
God damn it, Rose!
That is not cool! No, guys. Shut up. She's right. Like, thanks a lot, but... No, I wouldn't have been less scared. I think I might have been more scared. I think I am more scared. Holy shit, the kids. Rose, does this include the kids? Holy fuck. Oh shit, I didn't think of that.
Rose slams her hands on the table as she stands, and she looks the fuck like every single title she has to her name.
I have absolutely no idea whatsoever. And we are never going to find out. Do you understand me? Nothing has changed here apart from our own emotions, which we will govern, because we are fucking grown-ups. We have to determine how to proceed, not just in light of our own apparently unconditional immortality, but in light of Jake's, Dirk's, Latula's, and apparently my belief that Operation Latchkey is in some way the albatross
that has hung around our necks since we landed on this planet. Frankly, it seems like that is a process that is going to require an abundance of thoughts and feelings in lieu of actual fucking logic, so let's all of us try to keep a clear head. Questions, comments, yes, Dave. So, like, does Jade even have to stop bullets? Yes, if she wants us to go on missions. But we can't die. Of course we can die. It just collapses the timeline when we do. If we didn't bother to defend ourselves on a mission, we wouldn't just magically survive somehow. Instead, we wouldn't go on that mission in the first place. Because that's a more likely thing to happen, a more believable story, than for millions of bullets to miss us for no reason. Jake shifts uncomfortably. Okay, I suppose that makes sense, but... The door chimes, repeatedly, insistently. When you look at the camera, you see Curia Parazzi inputting the entry code herself, and the door slides open. Carcat springs to his feet, but he stops short of demanding an explanation. As Curia hauls the door shut behind her, you see in a thousand different ways the clear fact that she would never have intruded unless something very, very bad had happened, or was happening. Your mind involuntarily runs an inventory of masks in anticipation of the need of one, or perhaps several.
Sir Lalonde, sir, Knight Lalonde, which Rogue Harley, sirs, your wigglers are missing.
Every mask you have goes on at once, and you stop hearing her. Your brain processes the words she speaks into information, but you cease to be aware of them as sounds that exist in the world that your body occupies. You are made aware, as Jade throws herself against you and wails, that this is different. They did not run off. They did not sneak out. There was no way in or out of any of their rooms but through locked, unopened doors under military guard. They're gone, without the slightest trace. You try to stop yourself from thinking altogether before you can tell yourself that you will never see them again, but you are unsuccessful, and you break away from Jade and do not run, but fly out of the conference room, out of the war room, through corridors, over and sometimes around countless pairs of diversely shaped horns. Your brain processes the information that you slightly injured three people in your single-minded haste, and it was all pointless because Jade got here first. Of course she did. She would have taken you as well, but she forgot, because she was scared. She is so scared. She is so scared, and so are you. And you hear her in Becky's room howling in rage as you tear into Zazerpan's room, and there you find her bed. Empty, pillowcase damp with tears and snot, and you look for something to destroy. You will rip something from the void if you have to, just to feel it break in your hands, and... A smell hits your nose. And everything stops. You hear a crackle from the far side of the bed. You look and see Jaspers II crunching on a heavy, plastic, cylindrical wrapper that was tossed onto the floor. She stares at you with her olive eyes, but you don't stare back. You stare at the bottle of Grey Goose on the carpet next to her. The empty bottle of Grey Goose. Every mask you have falls away. Every lie that you tell yourself falls away. Every insecurity that you hide behind falls away. Every lazy affectation and precise turn of phrase and finely calculated manner in which you carry yourself falls away, and you are left bare. Jade finds you that way, finds you screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming, and the bottle is still there. It won't go away, and this is still real life, and this is still the space that your body occupies, and Dirk is there, and he's saying words, and you don't know what any of the words mean, but it won't stop. It won't stop. It won't stop. Mom, just breathe, okay?
You breathe because someone told you to.
In?
In.
Out?
Out.
In.
In.
Out.
Out. You are in the arms of your daughter-in-law. It's too tight. It hurts. Good. You deserve it.
Why aren't you with Rose?
She is. Jay Goddess said you were making a mistake.
This is all my fucking fault. Moron!
Holy shit, Jade's voice. You're suddenly aware that she's in front of you, behind Latch's back, holding both your hands in hers. Her fur stands on end with static electricity.
I don't trust myself or my powers right now, baby. That's why I went and got your other kids. But if you start blaming yourself, I don't know what I'm gonna fucking do, baby, so just don't.
Latch puts you down. You look around.
Okay, you weren't fucking kidding. You full-on destroyed Zaza's room, Gigi.
No, that was you. You look around more and see all the perfectly generic objects on, around, and embedded in the everything.
Oh.
Oh. If Terezi's plan was to piss off four gods badly enough that one of them destroys the spire, she's made an excellent head start.
Terezi didn't do this, Dirk.
A horrible, damning pause.
What?
What do you mean, Terezi didn't do this? Of course she did. I don't know how she accomplished it, but of course she—
I know how. I don't know how, but I know how. And it wasn't her, it was me.
God damn it, Roxy!
Not me, but the void. It took her back. Gigi, it took Zaz back. And it took everyone else with her.
Everyone's staring at you. Jade looks like you've punched her in the face. So that you don't have to look at that, you stoop down and find the Grey Goose bottle, which is miraculously and unwelcomely unbroken. Jade sees it, and it shatters in your hand.
Roxy Harley, why the fuck was that in this house?
Jade, stand down. Mother, answer her question.
I don't fucking know!
Mother! Oh, God. Oh, God, you would give almost anything for that instance of mother not to have been said from the bottom of Rose's heart. Gamaria does not have an alcohol industry. Examples of whiskey and other spirits can be found smuggled from the human kingdom, but vodka is not one of those spirits, much less Grey fucking Goose. There are only two manufacturers in the known universe of that particular beverage, and they are bleeding onto your shag fucking carpet. You wipe your hands on your godhood.
Of course I fucking made it. But I don't know why.
Bullshit!
I'm not fucking lying!
Latula, is she? Latula's jaw had dropped open in mute shock an instant before Rose spoke. The rebuff is loud and immediate from the entire room, but yours is loudest of all.
No!
You stomp over to your bitch of a daughter and almost slap her across the mouth. Instead, you set your own jaw and take her hand very, very delicately. You hold your other hand out to Jade, who takes it mechanically, automatically. Pulling them both close, you look each of them in the face, one after the other.
Gigi? Rose? I don't know if any of our kids are alive right now, but there is stuff I do know, and it's fucking weird, and it's fucking scary, and I gotta tell you about it. Gigi already knows most of it, and the stuff she doesn't know is because I was bad at explaining, and I'm about to try again for everybody, not just for her, because it's important, but...
You look at Jade.
On Becky and on Zazerpan.
You look at Rose.
On you and on Dave and on the fucking ring, Rose.
You look at both.
I don't fucking remember making that Grey Goose, and I don't fucking know why I did it, and I didn't fucking know it was here. Either you believe me, and I'm your wife, and I'm your mom, or I don't know why either of you ever fucking trusted me in the first fucking place!
You release their hands and stand back from them. An eternity of 5 seconds ticks by. Rose nods. Okay. That one word is enough to unravel Jade entirely, and she collapses into your arms, heaving sobs and incoherent apologies. You comfort her. Rose stands stoic.
Please forgive me, Mother.
You do not comfort her.
Does your fucking wife forgive you?
Rose's hands clap over her mouth in horrified realization, and she turns to Latch, whose face is blank. Rose stammers out an apoplexy of babbling remorse, but stops utterly when Latch breaks her silence.
Babe, I think I give that one to you, because I know how scared you are, and I'm scared too.
She looks over her shades at Rose, and her eyes are swimming in teal.
But don't you ever fucking do that to me again, babe, ever!
Rose nods like a jackhammer and lurches forward. Latch envelops her and also gives you a gentle yet prompting look. You purse your lips, and she slowly shakes her head at you. She's right.
She's always fucking right.
Okay, Rose, I forgive you too.
Rose wails and reaches a hand out and pulls you in, and suddenly the four of you are in a tight, ridiculous, standing ball. You feel a wave of exhaustion take hold of you. Jade is fully a half a foot taller than you, and is leaning nearly all of her weight on you, but somehow she and both the others are acting as structural support to you. Were she, Rose, and Latch not there, your strings would be cut, and oblivion would take you. You feel almost nothing. You already screamed out what there was to feel. Dirk moves into your line of sight and regards you with a short, curt nod. With that nod, sentences and sentences pass between you. But one of them he still chooses to say out loud. There is no monster that I will not become. You nod. You feel, for an instant, an emotion. He and Jake disentangle you and Jade and steer you to the couch. Dave and Karkat do the same with Rose, Latch, and the loveseat. Minutes go by.
I have made tea, hot chocolate, coffee.
Jake places cups in front of everyone, prepared exactly to their preferences. We are going to get them back.
How the fuck do you know that?
It creaks its way out of your mangled throat, too pained for inflection or nuance, a question, nothing more. Hope. No one laughs. Why don't they? Why don't you? It was funny. Cruelly, horribly funny, and yet... was that the emotion that you felt? Still feel? You don't fucking know. But it's back. Whatever it is. You force yourself to drink your tea. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. You can't taste it. What do you mean when you say the void took her? You look over at Jade to make sure she's sufficiently okay. She is, more or less. Okay.
So, you know how I made Jasper's a second... I got drunk for one last time. And I don't know how I did it. Don't remember, because drunk. That's probably, you know, the main thing. Is drunk. Get drunk, be better at voidy thing. But it doesn't matter, because, you know, alcoholic. So don't drink ever, because good mom, good wife, good friend. And I can still do regular voidy thing just fine. Just nothing alive. It's fine. And back when, well, 12 years ago today, when we had Becky and Zaz, we said they were twins, and, like, they are, but Roxy was only ever pregnant with Becky. And while she was in labor, Zazerpan just appeared. I don't mean, like, we didn't know she was carrying twins. I mean Zazerpan just appeared in Roxy's arms out of nowhere. And I ran tests on her. And I sampled her genome. I did everything. She's ours. She's our kid. We just don't know why. I wasn't, like, trying to do that. I wasn't going, like, oh, hey, you know what? I need another kid. And I haven't, like, forgotten it or anything. The labor. I don't know why that's the thing people talk about, but it's bullshit. And I remember everything. And it sucked shit. Hurt like bejeebus. Not, like, hurt because epidural, but it was still fucking awful. The Becky part wasn't anyway. Zaz just... happened. And she's our fucking kid, and I don't care. I never cared. GC didn't care either. No, right, we were curious. It was a puzzle, and I wanted to solve it, but, well, we got no answers. None. So we go, okay, cool, that book is closed. Never talking about it again. No one's ever going to know, especially not her. I love her, and I love Becky. And nothing else fucking matters at all.
You really feel like more people should be commenting on all of this because it's really fucking weird and comment-worthy, especially in the sense that if someone else said something, you and Jade could stop talking about this, and that would be fucking fantastic. Instead, everyone's just looking at you, and that's your favorite thing ever right now.
Mother, I really hate to ask, given the particular interaction that we had a few minutes ago, but, well...
I mean, okay, good on Rose for breaking the silence, yay, thanks, but also fuck her? for going there, and you're still pissed off about the particular interaction, and you're in a bad fucking mood. So you're going to at least make her actually ask the question out loud. Fuck me, mother. Were you drinking during the pregnancy?
God damn it, Dirk.
Fucking whatever. Answers, no, never, not once, not in a million years, never, 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 no way at all, forever. Okay, but then, wait. You said you had an epidural.
Oh, fuck.
Oh. Fuck.
Oh my god.
No way.
Oh my god.
Oh, that is so fucking weird.
Jeez, shit, Rose, could you not?
No, this is pretty fucking weird, Dave. Wow. Fuck.
What's an epidural?
It's a soporific.
What? No, it's not, Rose.
Not in the sense that it causes drowsiness,
but... That's the only sense that anything is a soporific. That's what soporific means.
Jesus, what I mean is that it's a drug. Trolls tend to use the word soporific to refer to... Lashula, Carcat. An epidural in this context is a cocktail of drugs meant to eliminate...
nope.
The pain of childbirth.
Wait, why would that hurt, though?
Because fuck girls especially, Lash. That's fucking why.
Childbirth, for context, is unimaginably painful.
But that's dumb.
Did we never talk about this? I feel like we must have talked about
whatever.
This.
Lash, Carcat, the point is that an epidural is kind of like getting drunk, sort of. Only it doesn't affect your mind, just your body. Like, here, on down. So, Roxy's... uterus. Holy shit, that is so fucking weird.
This never occurred to either of you before?
No!
No, Rose, what the fuck would it? It's so effing fucking weird. Weird enough that it took Dirk Weird Boy Strider to figure it out.
In about 30 seconds. Which is why it would have been outstanding if anyone else had been told about this before now.
Wasn't your fucking business, though, was it?
Mother, I feel like this was something we had a need to know.
Why? So you and Dirk could spend hours and hours debating how my daughter relates to the goddamn fucking narrative? That shit is up getting people's heads cut off, Rose.
I mean, I got better, and it was... Dirk, I'm still really grateful, but not my babies.
Dirk isn't going around looking for heads to cut off, Jade.
Rose, tell me you and Dirk talk about Naya and Tuna.
You discuss their narrative shit, except don't, because you'd be fucking lying.
All right, that's fair. We don't talk about them. We very deliberately do not talk about them.
Uh-huh, but maybe we should have been... My goal, Dirk's goal, is to anticipate future events. And maybe we would have been able to anticipate, predict, whatever the hell is going on here.
I don't think that's accurate, Rose.
Indeed, Jake.
Indeed, I... Jade has told me in rather exhaustive detail about the events leading to the incident 28 years ago. How conflicted Dirk was about it. I've never been able to get over it, and I think that this is the reason why. Dirk characterized it as a story that... that Skaia wanted to tell, because it was dramatic and exciting, and it had been set up by conversations in the past. Forgive me, Dirk, I don't think that was it at all. If you look at how those events played out in that story, it wasn't the past conversations that made it dramatic. Dirk, it was your conversation with me. It was your conversation with Rose. It was how much you, Dirk Strider, agonized about it. That was the story. I think that's why it was a story. You didn't predict the future, Dirk. You made the future by being... Forgive me, but by being the kind of person that dramatic and exciting things happen to. And because of. You're right.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. It's impossible to separate knowledge of the narrative structure of our lives and culpability in its events. And none of us are exempt from that, because we all know. Whether we actively engage in narrative interrogation on a day-to-day basis or just try to live our goddamn lives, we are aware of the narrative. The narrative changes us, and as we are changed, we change it.
Dude, shut the fuck up. All you're saying is that actions have consequences. Big whoop. I want that in fucking preschool. Why are we talking about this? How's it helping? Who's it helping? Because it ain't helping us. It ain't helping the kids.
What do you suggest we do, Dave?
I don't know. They're not fucking this.
Roxy knows. She's just afraid to do it. You nod as everyone looks at you. You hold both hands out in front of you. You clench them into fists, and when you open them, blood drips once more from the cut. You concentrate, and blood drips down an unopened bottle of Grey Goose.
No!
Yeah, GG. Only way.
Only stupid goddamn fucking shitty ass way, and I hate everything. I hate everything so fucking much, but I love you more. And I love them even more. Look. I don't know why I made Sazerpent. I don't know why I made Jasper's a second. I don't know why I made that Grey Goose or even fucking when.
You swallow hard. It takes whole seconds to do because you're stalling.
But I'm gonna find out. Void keeps everything. But it's not fucking keeping them.
You rip off the heavy, plastic, cylindrical wrapper, unscrew the cap, drink 8 shots worth in 1 eye-watering, 3 decades of sobriety-breaking gulp. And all you see is black. Until you open your eyes. Because Void looks different from the inside. You stand in a chamber, vast and regal, covered floor to vaulted ceiling in various colors of garish paint slapped over uniform, violet-hued stone. Out an ornate, violet-hued window, a massive, violet-hued chain rises into view, trailing languidly into an expanse too utterly blank to be called a sky. And in front of you, someone is hovering a few feet off the ground on gossamer wings. I'm a fucking god.
Hi, Roxy. I'm really sorry about everything, but this could be okay. Before I can get you clawed up, there's someone you need to meet. And Roxy, this all makes sense. You're not gonna think it does, but it does.
Nepetele Jean points over your shoulder, and you turn. Chiseled, masculine, brushed metal features gleam statuesque from a height of 12 feet. A nude, brushed metal approximation of a bodybuilder's broad chest and rippling abdomen sits rooted to the neck of a powerful, brushed metal quadruped, planted solidly atop 4 brushed metal hooves. Or it would be planted solidly were the hooves not currently functioning as jets, assisting a set of hard light gossamer wings in maintaining lift. The figure's head is crowned by a pair of horns. One of those horns is broken.
This is Equius, but sort of. Kind of.
Before you can say anything, the figure lurches forward, lands clumsily in front of you, and lays down upright, legs tucked beneath, torso and head now more on a level with yours. A sudden, too tight embrace. Much too tight. Much too tight.
Hi, Mom. I'm really, really, really sorry.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is .413 Repeating, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.